Let's listen to our Savior's words from Matthew chapter 13. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" An enemy did this, he replied. The servants asked him, Do you want us to go and pull them up? No, he answered, because while you are pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, First collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn. These are your words. Heavenly Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. In 1936, there was a young college-age man by the name of Charles Templeton. He was an unbeliever, but he went to a church service at which he was so moved that he decided he was going to become a member at that church. He became so on fire for Christ that he decided he wanted to be a pastor. And within 5 years, Charles Templeton ended up in Canada. He had his own church. It was called the American Road Church of the Nazarene. He was such a powerful preacher that his church rapidly grew. Charles Templeton also began a little society called the Youth for America, Christian Youth for America. And it's a society that still exists today. It was a very successful society. In fact, his goal with that society was to evangelize the Americas, to go out on evangelism crusades. And Charles Templeton went throughout the Americas. He went over into Europe. He went over into Africa and preached to countless thousands of souls Christ crucified. His ministry was so successful that he had to call a second evangelist. At that time, it was a young, unknown evangelist by the name of Billy Graham. Billy Graham went along with Charles Templeton, and Billy Graham now is one of the most recognized names in the world when it comes to Christians. But Billy Graham once said this of Charles Templeton. Billy Graham said he is unfeigned. There's nothing fake about him. He's got such a deep integrity in what he believes that he's the only mass evangelist that I'd really trust. Many people thought that Charles Templeton was such a powerful preacher that he eclipsed Billy Graham's preaching. In the mid-50s, at the height of his career, Charles Templeton had a TV show on CBS. It was called Look Up and Live. And then in 1957, Charles Templeton did something that stunned the world. He made an announcement that he was not a Christian. He had never been a Christian, and he was walking away from the Christian church and walking away from all the societies he started. He died in 2001. Prior to his death, he granted one last interview. In that interview, he said he still was not a Christian, although he did hauntingly say, I do miss Jesus. But he was a fake. He was a fake believer. He was an imitation believer. He was what Jesus calls in today's scripture reading, the weeds among the wheat. Jesus tells us in our scripture reading that there will be weeds among the weak, fake believers, imitation believers, and such that we won't be able to tell who they are by looking at them. The weeds and the wheat look the same. So they'll sit in the pews just like the rest of us. They'll open their hymn books. They'll sing the hymns. They'll go to classes. They may be on the clergy roster of the Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Imposter believers may be on the faculty of Bethany Lutheran College. Imposter believers could be in your classroom. They could get straight A's on all their religion tests. They could hit every note that they sing in chapel with perfect pitch. But Jesus warns us that there will be imitation or fake believers. But he also tells us that it is not our job or our duty to try to identify who they are. The Bible tells us man looks at the outward things, but God looks at the heart. You and I can't look into someone's heart and tell whether that person is a fake believer, an imitation believer, or a real believer in Jesus as their Savior. In fact, Jesus in today's scripture reading tells us that great harm could come to the church if we started to try to figure out who are the real believers here and who are the fake believers. But there is one thing, there is one person that you should identify, because the person sitting in the chair that you're sitting in could be an imitation, could be a fake believer, could be an imitation believer. And that's the person that you should be looking at. I would venture to guess that there are more than just a few people in this room who've even wondered to themselves, am I really a Christian? It could be that there are people in this room who have maybe committed some sin and have been so ashamed of that sin, and you've gone to Jesus and you've said, Jesus, I can't believe I did that. I am so sorry. I'm ashamed. Forgive me. And you've trusted that Jesus forgives all your sin. And then you went forward with resolve and said, from now on, I want to live for my Savior, and I don't want to fall into that sin anymore. And then you found yourself the next week falling into that same sin and going through that whole scenario. Jesus, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Help me not to fall into that sin anymore. And then you go forward with resolve. And now it's been years and you're still in that sin. You still fall and you still begin to wonder to yourself, am I really a believer? I want to overcome this sin, but it doesn't seem like I can. Why can't I be like other Christians? I wish I were like them. Are you a fake believer? Are you a weed among the wheat? There's a wonderful question in our catechism. And it's just a profound question. It says this: how does even weak faith show itself to be saving faith? How do you know if you're a weed or a wheat? So here's the question. How does even weak faith show itself to be saving faith? And it identifies these three things that you should look for. And I want you to ask yourself, does that describe me? Number one, weak faith shows itself to be saving faith by its hatred of sin. Do you hate your sin? Do you wish it were gone? Do you wish you weren't falling into it anymore? Do you wish that you'd never do it again? Oh, the good I want to do, I don't do. The evil I don't want to do, that's what I keep on doing. That is repentance. And even weak faith shows itself to be saving faith by its hatred of sin. Does that describe you? Number two, weak faith shows itself to be saving faith by its desire for grace in Christ. Do you desire to have Jesus wash you clean from all your sin? Do you desire to be able to stand before God dressed in the holiness of Jesus, your Savior, and his payment for sin, and know that you are declared not guilty for Christ's sake? Do you have a longing to have Jesus as your Savior? Weak faith, even weak faith, shows itself to be saving faith by its desire for grace in Christ. And number three, even weak faith shows itself to be saving faith by its love for the brothers. The Bible says this is how we know that we've crossed over from death to life, because we love the brothers. Do you look at your fellow Christians and say, I wish I were like them. I wish I had that kind of faith. I wish I could live a Christian life like this person or that person. I want to be with them. Even weak faith shows itself to be saving faith by its love for the brothers. So if that describes you, if you have a hatred of your sin, if you have a longing for grace in Christ, and if you have a love for the brothers, you are wheat. But if that doesn't describe you, if you don't have a hatred of your sin and you don't want to be rid of it, if you don't have a longing for grace in Christ, if you don't have a love for the brothers, then you are a weed among the wheat. And the Lord has you here in this room today because he is reaching out to you, and the Holy Spirit is convicting you of sin and calling you to grace in Christ. God grant that all of us are wheat, that we are believers in Christ our Savior, and that we remain that way. There's a prayer that I, as a kid, heard many, many, many times, and I always knew what was coming, and there was some wording in there that always caught my ears. It's in our hymn book. Here's how it goes. It says, "Blessed Lord, since you have caused all Holy Scripture to be written for our learning, grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn," and in this hymn book, it says, "take them to heart." But when I was a kid, it said, "may we so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them." And that wording always caught my ears. Let's inwardly digest the Word of God. Chew on it. Be nourished on it. So that we may embrace and ever hold fast the everlasting hope, the blessed hope of everlasting life through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We pray. We thank you, our Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept us this night from all harm and danger. And we pray that you would keep us this day also from sin and every evil, that all our doings in life may please you. For into your hands we commend ourselves, our bodies, souls, and all things. Let your holy angels be with us, that the wicked foe may have no power over us. Amen. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.
Each year at the February Board of Regents meeting, one of the things that we do is to take special note of special anniversaries of those who have worked so diligently here at Bethany Lutheran College and Seminary. And so it is in that spirit that we want to recognize a few milestone anniversaries this year. If you add up all the years, it's close to 300 collectively. That's unbelievable for an institution the size that we have. The commitment, the dedication, the true burning desire to bring to you the one thing needful over all these years for those people, it's really a rewarding thing for the board and for me as president to be able to recognize. And so this morning, we'll bring those individuals up here individually. We have Pastor Herb Huntercook, who's the chair of the Board of Regents, who will be giving them two things. One is a certificate, and I will read here what, in general, that says. And it says, Bethany Lutheran College, Mankato, Minnesota, in grateful recognition for service to Christ and his church, Bethany Lutheran College presents this token of appreciation with a prayer of thanksgiving to, and then the name of the individual and the department that they serve, who has served Bethany for the past X number of years, presented this 7th day of February 2011 and signed by the chair of the Board of Regents. Oh, I said there were two things in there. The second thing is a little piece of paper that's about this big, and it has a monetary amount on it. So that also received that, and that's based on the number of years of service. And so Pastor Huntercook will be doing that. So what we'll do is I'll be reading the names. We'll be starting with the shortest number of years to the longest, and then I would ask that you would hold your applause until we're all complete. And then for those of you that are able, we'll be having a reception following this immediately over in the great room of Old Main to help congratulate those individuals who have poured their heart and soul into the mission of Bethany Lutheran College. So with that, Tammy Board, data specialist in advancement. John Logging, communication. Eric Oren, art. Ann Frederickson, music. Linda Logie, associate dean of admissions. John Morozik, programmer, IT. Tatiana Durand, Spanish. Lois Yeager, Director of Fine Arts. Patricia Lind, Health and Sociology. Laura Motsky, Music. Audrey Winkler, Information Secretary. Dean Shoup, Business. And last but not least, Mark Weekman in Psychology. And at this time, I ask President Schmeling from the seminary to come forward.
The certificate for Adolf Harstad simply says Old Testament on it. In the seminary, the professors have a variety of different responsibilities. Besides Old Testament, he teaches homiletics, he teaches the counseling courses, he teaches many of the other courses that are there, history courses and so forth. He also teaches in the college, and he has completed one massive commentary on Joshua and is working on one on Deuteronomy right now. So, Adie, would you come forward? Your work is greatly appreciated.
And with that, please join me in thanking them for their warriors of service. You guys.